This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. So, teachers have been saying how glad the children in their care have been, who've been able to get back to school to see their friends and been loved watching the joy on their faces. It's been a while since many of us have been able to see each other, many friends in being able to see each other in the flesh. Our relationships are so important. They're personal, they're fun, they're life-giving, they're what we're made for. And sometimes relationships break down, and that's when we need reconciliation. This last week, we've been looking at prayer. We've been entering a time of prayer and fasting and preparation in the vineyard. And it was towards preparing us for reconciliation. Reconciliation is something that we all need to receive. I want to talk about that. And it's something that we all need to do. And I want to finish with that. First of all, we'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second, or at least his second surviving letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. And he's been talking about how much he loves them and how he's willing to pay any cost to serve the Corinthians and to serve Jesus. And if we read from verse 14 in the New Living Translation, rather than the NIV today, he says this: "Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view." Interesting line. "At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Relationships. What's the most important relationship in the world? I mean, if you're a rugby player, then maybe it's the relationship between the scrum half and the fly half. Debatable. If you're watching TV, maybe it's Ant and Dec. A lot of people say to me the most important thing is family. Family. I don't think so. But the most important relationship is between God and me, God and you. Why? Because God created you. He placed his divine spark of life in you. He named you. He knows you. He loves you. Only in him do we find that we get meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life. Only with him do we look forward to eternal life. Our salvation is so much more than just a transaction. It's a relational thing, is reconciliation. It's personal. It's the most important relationship because we build better relationships with people when we are in a good relationship with God. But our relationship with God has broken down because instead of placing Christ at the center of our lives, we have placed ourselves there. Sin has come between us and God. And as a result, we're seeing, aren't we? We're seeing it played out on the news at the moment. Our world is in chaos and hostility. So the result is that instead of seeing each other, the result of this hostility is that instead of seeing each other as created in the image of God, as precious children of God, loved by him, we see each other from a human point of view. That's what he says in verse 16. But thankfully, verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So now we can see people from a godly point of view, which means that we see everyone as a son or daughter of God, created in his image, loved by him, whatever their color or shape or sexuality or politics or criminal record. Seeing everyone like this is hard to do. And by and large, many people do try to reconcile and try very hard. We have the laws of handling inequality. We have voting. We have protests. But the trouble is that we're still looking at it from a human point of view and not from a godly point of view. Reconciliation needs a change of heart. To do this, is we need a change of heart. And we can't change our hearts without first being reconciled to God. So this struggle is manifesting itself currently as a black-white thing. It is that, and it is more than that. Until we become a new creation, reconciled to God, we will always struggle to be reconciled to one another. And so we just keep looking to the heavenly promise of every language and nation and people group gathered together around the throne of God. Until then, Christians can celebrate that we have been reconciled to God, we have been forgiven, we have received mercy, and now that makes us ambassadors of reconciliation to the world. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. That's an awesome thing. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So let me give three components of this very complex and wide-ranging thing called reconciliation. How can we be ambassadors of reconciliation? Three things. One is to recognize that reconciliation is needed. It's worth asking, to whom do I need to be reconciled? Sometimes it's obvious. Very obvious, but very often it's in a blind spot. We can't actually see it. It could be between men and women, the gender thing, or between nationalities, or, as is very obvious now, the black and white issue. But people are saying to me, David, I'm doing all right. I'm in good relationships with all the people around me, and I'm not a racist. I hope you're not, but maybe you can't see everything that's happening. That is why we've been praying and fasting and preparing as a church this week. And this evening, we're going to, as Alison said, spend some time listening to some stories this evening from people in our Black and Asian friends and brothers and sisters. And I think in doing that, you may discover something you didn't realize, that you might have a blind spot. This is a huge subject, and we'll come back to it, but just think of one thing, just a frivolous example. If I asked you to put your hand up, if you're right-handed, about 90% of you would put your hand up, and 10% of you would put your hand up for being left-handed. Left-handed people live in a right-handed world made and created by right-handed people for right-handed people. And if you're right-handed, you don't even think about it. But if you're left-handed, you're forced to think about it every time you pick up a pen and try and write in the way that we right-handed people write, or a guitar and want to play that left-handed. Or in fact, every time you hear Jesus as being described as sitting at the right hand of God. If you're right-handed, it doesn't even cross your mind. If you're left-handed, maybe you think about that. And it's that sort of blind spot that we're looking for. So the first thing to do is recognize that we need to do something. The second thing is to repent of discrimination, to repent of any form of separation between us and others and between others around us. Repent, it means saying sorry. It means remorse. It means regret. It means saying sorry to God and to those who we have hurt. It means acknowledging the pain caused, the damage done, even if it's through ignorance or indifference, not deliberate. But it means more than that, does repent. It means changing the way you think. I used to think like this, you know, I am at the center of my world, and I will welcome close to me those who are like me. Maybe people who play the sport, same sport I do, or the same color as me, or the social standing, or speak my language, or have my level of education. Now we want to, repenting means stop thinking like that and think differently. Now I want to think like this. Lord Jesus, you are the center of my world, and I will welcome all people because you welcome all people equally. Do you see, it's a very deliberate decision. It's not an easy thing. On your knees, repentance. So we recognize, we repent, and finally, we restore, we put things right. In 1996, Nelson Mandela, when he came out of prison, said, "True reconciliation does not consist in merely forgetting the past." We are sent, we're empowered to be, those of us who are followers of Jesus, to be ambassadors of change to those around us. And so we need to seek reconciliation at all possible moments in our neighbors, in our workplace, in a university or school. We need to go and be with people who are different from us. Anne was talking about that last week in the lounge Zoom call. But finding people who are different from us and just sitting with them. It could be that restitution is needed. There's usually a cost to this, to restoring. Many of the barriers, especially the institutional ones, are there on financial grounds apart from anything else. And changing them is costly. Thinking about the appalling way that we treat immigrants and refugees. The scripture is crystal clear about welcoming the foreigner and looking after them. And if our reconciliation shifted to that, it would be a cost. It would be a cost to it. So we have to recognize the need. We need to repent, and then we need to pay the cost of restoring. Recognize, repent, and restore. Let me wrap up. So Paul confronts us with this world-changing truth that despite our sin and disregard, God loves us and loves us so much that Jesus died for us to give us new life. We are a new creation with a new way of thinking, and we can thus be reconciled to God. And having you and me being on the receiving end of such great reconciliation, we can no longer see things from a worldly point of view, but we start to seek we see things from Jesus' point of view, and we seek reconciliation between peoples in every sphere of life, starting with us. So let us recognize what is going on. Let us repent and change the way we think. Let us be agents of restoration, putting things right. Vineyard, let us be ambassadors of reconciliation and extend the kingdom together, everywhere, and in every way.